Her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
I'm Brother Gregory, and again, we're talking about the kingdom of God, and there's a lot of information that been running across my desk this week. I actually had more time to work on the different articles that we've been putting up over the last decade or two or three, and there's so much information out there that we are sharing for free that it's a little overwhelming at times, but the reality is there's so much misinformation out there that people have already been overwhelmed by that misinformation, which is just staggering, in my opinion. I hear conversations, and I look on places like Facebook and Twitter, and I try to avoid Twitter pretty much, but have posted on there recently just because it may open up as a free speech platform. It may. The fact is that there are vast numbers of people that just absolutely hate free speech. Because they are so insecure with what they believe to be true. And they want to stifle that free speech in other people. They want to cut it off. They don't want you to speak because they're afraid of, you know, the truth, because it's in, they're personally in such opposition to the truth that they literally hate it. They have to destroy it. And of course, that's why they crucified Christ, is because he was the truth. He brought the truth. He spoke the truth. And they did not want to hear the truth. And on several, you know, I have lots of different friends, the extended network, and they're looking at this loss of freedom in America, and they're trying to figure out what the solution is. I actually shared a video with some of the ministers, and they could in turn share it with their own congregations. That was put out by, I think their last name is Bollinger, Ty Bollinger, who are, you know, talk a great deal about medical solutions, health solutions, cancer, as where they got interested because they had a relative, a father, I think, a father-in-law who died of cancer. They started doing research and found out that the information that was coming to us by way of pharmaceutical and medical industries, I have to call them industries, they're not necessarily vocations, because when they become more about making money, then they become more an industry rather than a vocation. And they have a lot of truth to share, a lot of information. You have to take it with a grain of salt at times, but, you know, some of it makes sense. But it may not make sense to everybody, because everybody is not guided by the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, to find your way through this maze of information and misinformation, which is like a giant, almost unfathomable maze, because, you know, you follow this misinformation and it ends into a dead end. And then you follow this misinformation and it ends into a dead end. So you're trying to find, how do I find my way through this so I get to the cheese on the other side? to get to the answer, to get to the truth. And you need the Holy Spirit to help guide you, because then you literally will look down a path of information that is given you, and you'll say, that's not it. There's something wrong with this. Your internal compass will become alive, because your internal compass will be the Holy Spirit. If your internal compass is based on the tree of knowledge, the information you get, then how do you filter through that information? And so ultimately, no matter how many facts I give you and how much information I share with you, and we share a lot, the ultimate answer to finding the truth is the Holy Spirit. And just before the program, somebody posted something about men and women, the relationship of men and women, and that are we supposed to be, you know, men and women supposed to be buddies? And it went through big long. I won't go through the whole thing because it's really not the topic. But everything comes back to our relationship between man and woman and God. I mean, that is the key. Triangle, if you wish, is absolutely essential to finding the truth, because the last thing a man wants to know is the truth about himself, which is what got us into this mess. It wasn't eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it was denying that it was his fault that got us into the real trouble, and trying to blame his choice, his vanity, on the woman and the God who gave him the woman. So, and he's still doing that today, and that's one of the things when people were talking about, you know, this loss of freedom. It was actually started out with a post on a convoy group, evidently, and somehow or other I got the post, and they were asking about Title 42, and so I responded to it, and because people say, you know, what about Title 42? As if the Title 42 is, you know, is simply about a single section in Title 42, which is 252, that talks about restricting the people seeking legitimate asylum coming into this country because they might be carrying a communicable disease, and the CDC gets to specify if they need to restrict that. And so they can say, oh, well, we don't have to restrict that, or we do have to restrict that based upon the testimony of the, you know, disease control people. And so that's when they say, what about Title 42? They're just talking about Title 42, Section 252, which has nothing to do with immigration. And all these people that are flowing in, that they're not asylum seekers. They may say they're asylum seekers, but they don't really have a case for asylum. You know, 90% of them don't have a case for asylum. They're just coming here to get stuff. And you know, I in America, the life of the poor is better than some of the middle class in other countries. At least it is this week. I don't know about next week, because things are going to be changing here as you bring these people in and as you continue with all the other sins that you have been committing for the last 100 years or more, and thinking that they are good. Back to the Ty Bollinger video, which I found was interesting. I shared it with the ministers. One of the ministers shared another episode that was available. I don't even think they're available right now for free, but they were for a short time. Get on their mailing list, and you'll see that they do let things loose for free. And you can, and they have reasonable price, and they don't even mind if you copy their stuff and share it with other people. Of course, it costs money for their ministry. It costs money for our ministry, but we don't put a price on it. All our books are available for free. All the audios. I just put up another 50 audios at Preparing You in our audio section. We have them going back for hundreds of audios for a decade or more. And going through all these things step by step so that you can see what other people haven't shared with you. But one of the things that they said in the video that I was watching was that the law is on our side. They were talking about all the misinformation and the improper censorship and the lies that have been told during this COVID fiasco. And they're saying the law is on our side. And actually, that's not true. The law is not on your side because we have not been on the side of the law. And we're going to take a peek at what I mean by that because people are so ignorant of the law. And I gave the example here of this Title 42. They're talking about Section 252 of a title that has at least 666 sections to it because I immediately shared with them Section 666 of Title 42, which everybody's worried about this forced vaccination as if forced vaccination is going to bring in the mark of the beast. And the truth is, you already have the mark of the beast, which you would know if you read Title 42, Section 666, which says that you have to have a number issued by the government to get any ID whatsoever from the government, to get a marriage license, to get a car license, a truck license, you know, driver's license, you're supposed to have a Social Security number. Now, you can get away with it in a few places, but you can't get a driver's license usually without a Social Security number, or it's a big battle. Unless you're one of those illegal immigrants, then you can get a driver's license. But the reality is true Christians are already illegal immigrants almost everywhere in the world today. But true Christians are gathered together in the righteousness of God. But most people who say they are Christians, they're actually the workers of iniquity that Jesus said that he's going to say, get ye from me, because I don't even know you. You don't even know me. So you want to make sure you're not one of those guys. And that's where we're going to show you is that you've actually been going the wrong way for quite some time. And you've been going the wrong way because you've been going to churches that have not been telling you the truth and have not been preaching the gospel. And to a pervasive point where most of the Christians in America today, or most of the people professing to be Christians in America, are actually doing the exact opposite of what Christ said. Now, most of those people probably are not going to want to hear that. Some people might be curious enough to stick around and find out maybe we got something wrong. But that would take humility. But of course, Christ preached humility as an essential part of seeking the kingdom. Because you're not seeking the self-righteousness of false Christianity. You're seeking the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is quite a bit different than the false righteousness of a false Christianity. And so, which brings me back, I'm going to backtrack here in the first few minutes, and then we will make several full circles and come back and hopefully understand banking on the kingdom, an essential part. We have all kinds of recordings up on that now, all kinds of articles up on that now. I put them together so that you can now find many of those articles, or at least links to many of those articles, because you go to one article and we cover a particular topic, and in that there are several links to other articles. And if I put them all together, it would just seem too overwhelming. Because we've been addressing this subject for some time. I have put together some explanations where probably a quarter of the words in the explanation are leading you to other articles to verify this. But the reality is that I'm putting it together so that somebody who wants to grasp the exact nature of the snare that has brought the whole world back into the bondage of Egypt, and that's where we're at. Remember, in the bondage of Egypt, you owe 20% of your labor to the government. every year. You had to give 20% of your laboring day had to go to the government. And that was the bondage of Egypt. You didn't have any gold and silver in your pockets, in your purse, in your personal estate. That all belonged to the government. And the land you owned and lived on was gifted to you as a legal title by the government. And all those three things together, you were in bondage in Egypt. And eventually when your cries were heard by God, which took a while, and of course we know that as long as you're looking to exercise authority one over the other, God's not going to hear your cries. As long as you're looking for a king, a ruler, you know, a president, a prime minister to force your neighbor to do what you want, God's not going to hear you. So enough of the Israelites had to repent of that idea that we see in 1 Samuel 8. They had to repent of that idea because God says he's not going to hear you as long as you think that's a good idea. As long as you think Trump is your salvation, and I actually feel sorry for Trump. I mean, they picked on him so terribly. But I'm following God. I'm not following Trump. But the reality is, if you think Trump is your salvation, you haven't learned the lesson of 1 Samuel 8 yet. And God's not going to hear you. Now, I know that these are complex things and people are complex, and so there may be a part of you that's starting to repent while other parts of you are still clinging to the life raft. But if you want to get out of the sea where you're tossed to and fro, eventually you're going to have to let go of the wreckage and grab a hold of those people who are up on dry land, and they'll hoist you up. But until then, you're going to flounder around being tossed to and fro by the sea. So I'm throwing out a few metaphors here, but hopefully we'll bring them all together. But yeah, just this morning, someone was posting this idea of men and women should not be buddies, and that, you know, man has a role and a woman has a role, and then, but somebody else was saying, yeah, but they should not be. You know, a woman should not rule over a man, and all these insecure psychologies that are floating around that people just do not understand the basics of the kingdom of God, which is husband and wife as a family unit. That's an institution of God, but it needs to have God in that institution for that institution to work. Otherwise, you will have enmity between the two of you, and you will have no protection against the world or the flesh or the devil. And so understanding that relationship is absolutely critical, and it's absolutely critical to understand that relationship to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's really good when both of you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but if just one of you was filled with the Holy Spirit, it would probably work. But odds are that doesn't happen very often because there's not very many people filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people who are emotional who think that emotion is filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's not. And I had posted that, I don't know, I wonder if I even have that here. No, I didn't send that over, but I do have a response that I made to somebody who took issue with what I originally said, which basically is that men and women aren't supposed to be buddies as husband and wife. Husband and wives aren't buddies in the context of what the person was originally posting. But they are to be brother and sister. All men and women are to be brothers and sisters. And he was kind of jumping all over the place, and I've seen this where the natural relationship of husband and wife is a very unique, separate relationship. That's why the family is this institution of God. It's really God's first corporation is the family. two or more people gathered together as if they are one person under a pre-existing authority. That's what a family is. And hopefully that pre-existing authority is the God of heaven and not the gods of this world, small g gods of this world. And, of course, we've shown the symbols of that in our article on marriage, which is a three-party contract between you, your spouse, and the state, where the state is now God, ruling judge, over that institution. That family is a small f family. It is a corporation of the state and therefore controlled by the state. And one of the other posts that I was addressing was the fact that they were talking about your kids in public school can now go down to the clinic in the public school and get whatever vaccination they want to get, and they don't have to check with your parents. At least this is evidently the rules that are coming down from someplace. And they're saying, how dare they? We are the parents. Well, if you were the parents, you wouldn't have sent them away to the school. We have tons of articles showing that. But basically, it comes down to public schools are funded by a man who exercises authority over all your neighbors and forces your neighbors to pay into that public school through property tax. And if somebody decides that, oh, I don't think that school is teaching, I think they're doing bad things, I think they're injecting false ideas and maybe even giving vaccinations to children, and I think it's destroying the children, and I don't want to support it anymore. Well, you have set up a system where men who exercise authority will take that man's home away from him and throw him out on the street. That's the system you have created. That is not a godly system. That is not a righteous system. That is a covetous practice, and it will make you merchandise, and it will curse your children. So everybody's saying, these are our schools. No, you have a common purse that runs towards death, that has created a public school system by forcing your neighbor to contribute to what you want for free. That is a sin, and it's going to end badly. We knew that 50 years ago. We knew that 100 years ago. We knew that 2,000 years ago. But a lot of people have turned a blind eye because they have a seared conscience, and they think that, no, I can send my kids to public school. Some people, not even understanding that connection to public education being the result of a covetous practice that will make you merchandise and curse your children, which it says in the New Testament. It says it in the Old Testament as well, but it clearly says it in the New Testament that you're not supposed to covet. Paul says it. Jesus says it. Peter says it. James says it. They all say it. But you think it's okay if you can get free education out of the deal. That's going to end badly. And the thing that you're feeling now is because you're already corrupted by your power to force your neighbor to pay for your child's free education. Is there any wonder they want you to pay off all the student loans? Is it there any wonder that they want you to take care of their parents so they don't have to do it through Social Security system, a bankrupt system, been bankrupt since it was instituted. It's never been solvent. And you don't see it. And you don't want to see it because we show you right from the beginning, Social Security Trust Fund, which doesn't exist in law, has been bankrupt from the beginning. It's never been solvent. Never, ever. That's the law. It's been ruled that. But people don't want to see it because they don't want to see the truth. But we're going to give you the truth, and we're going to get hot and heavy into banking and what's coming next in the Great Reset when we return to Keys to the Kingdom. So don't go away. Be right back. Thank you.
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
We put together a lot of information that most people are completely unaware of, and so anyway, I tied it at the beginning of the show to this idea of the relationship of man and woman and God the Father, which communicates to us through the Comforter that we call the Holy Spirit, which is an equal representation of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who knew that He had to leave for us to grow as individuals towards that Holy Spirit. And the principle that is involved in that statement of Christ, that He had to go so that we could go to the next level, and then He was going to only send us the Holy Spirit, this unseen connection to this other realm we call the kingdom of heaven, which is actually, kingdom of heaven actually means the kingdom of the world. The word there that we see translated into heaven is, according to Greek scholars, is best translated into world, because it means from the sky above to the center of the earth. It means the right to dominion on this planet, which God gave us back there in the garden, when He told us not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but only eat of the tree of life. He gave us the knowledge of good and evil in a tree form in our mental state, but we weren't to eat of it. We weren't to use it as a source. We were supposed to use the tree of life, which is the tree of the Holy Spirit, as that source. And that's what Christ was trying to do, is lead us back to that garden, that protected place, because that's what the word means, where we're following the Holy Spirit instead of our own imagination. And when I made this statement this morning, countering the statements of the other guy who was kind of all over the place with the men and women aren't supposed to be buddy, and women aren't supposed to exercise authority over men, and all this stuff, misusing Paul's quote. Because nobody's supposed to be exercising authority one over the other in the church, man or woman, because Christ said so. And he was talking about something, somebody likes to take that quote out of context and they don't understand it. But I said, a woman pointing out the error of a man in love is not exercising authority, but righteousness. And, of course, that triggered all the men who imagined they worship God because they've created an image of God in their mind. And this was an affront on their manhood, which is probably already lacking. They probably only have malehood. And they thought, oh, that's a terrible thing to say. But the reality is I qualified it. Pointing out the error of a man in love. In love. And that's the love, that's not the fleshly love, that's the love that Christ had for us, is not exercising authority. Because exercising authority is you exercising authority. It is manifesting authority because you're manifesting the righteousness of God in pointing out that error. And then, of course, I point that out to one of the guys who complained, and then I added, a spirit-filled woman can often do that, point out that error, without ever even opening her mouth. And then I said, it's sometimes called, and I put it in quotes, the look. And everybody's heard of that, the look. A woman has this, the look. She gives you the look. Well, there's contemptuous looks that a woman can look at a man to tell him that you're now out of my favor, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being that vessel of the Holy Spirit come into the room. Merely by her presence, she doesn't even need the look. If she's filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that is exercising authority. It's not her. And I've given examples of that, where the exercising authority of the Holy Spirit, from the riots on a street to courtrooms to surrounded by police officers wanting to arrest you, that the authority of the Holy Spirit can take over and people will submit to it, even evil itself. That's how you cast out demons. You don't cast out demons with anger or by exercising authority. You do it by love, but it has to be the love of Christ, not the love for Christ, but the love of Christ. You know, people think pronouns are important, prepositions are important. So anyway, you're not supposed to be of the world, you're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. That means something. That's important. But it's the Holy presence of the Holy Spirit, so how do you get the presence of the Holy Spirit in you? Well, it listeth where it will, so you're not going to exercise authority over it. You have to come with fear of God in your heart, which if you go to Ephesians 5:21, which I cannot remember the whole verse verbatim, but you can look it up yourself. The word there, submitting one to another, in relationship to this man and woman relationship. It's a particular Greek word that means not being willful with one another. And see, the guys that were triggered by the statement I made, they are probably willful in their relationship with women, if they even have one that has survived. But vice versa, the woman should not be willful with her husband. She should not be exercising authority. But she can bring authority into the room if she brings the Holy Spirit into the room. And that's really the way that the man should be doing it as well. But men are often, because they're bigger, they're stronger, they have these aggressive hormones, they will think that they are bringing the authority into the room or into the marriage. No. No, you want to bring the Holy Spirit into the marriage. And then you're not threatened by somebody else's hormones, because you are and the only way to bring the Holy Spirit into the room is that you must first submit to the Holy Spirit. And that requires humility. You have to recognize that God is God and stop creating God in your own mind with your personal theologies and doctrines and denominations. So with that important caveat in the forefront of what we're talking about, then I mentioned this Title 42, 252, which has to do with prohibiting people coming in, but immigration is really regulated by Title 8, and people don't even know any of these things. They have all these laws. They elected men to create these thousands and thousands of laws, which is creating the maze that has snared you in. You think that you, the law is on your side. We have the Constitution. We have the constitutional rights. Anybody saying that is ignorant of the actual law. The reality is the Constitution is the instrument, and I'm picking my words carefully here, the instrument of your bondage back in the bondage of Egypt. Because you did not put in your Constitution all five of the requirements for a godly, biblical Constitution. You did not put all five elements in your Constitution. As a matter of fact, you didn't put four of the elements into that Constitution. You barely snuck in one, and then it's poorly defined, understood, and not paid attention to at all. No, the Constitution is the instrument by which you have gone into bondage. But I'm not blaming it on the Constitution. I'm not blaming it on, you know, Jefferson or Madison or any of those guys. The truth is, they left those four essential elements of a godly constitution out of the Constitution. They left it out. If you knew what those five elements were, and you were really Christians, you would probably still be okay even with that Constitution. So the Constitution is not to blame. It's simply the instrument that was used, because it created a corporate body called the United States Federal Government, which wasn't created in 1871. It was created back then when they started operating according to the charter, which was the Constitution. But in that Constitution, it guarantees your right to contract in natural law, in common law, and if you want, in equity, because equity was accepted in the Judiciary Act of 1789, which you're all familiar with, right? Oh, wait, you went to public school. That's right. You don't know about the Judiciary Act of 1789 or 98. But anyway, we write about it on at Preparing You, so you can go look it up. The Judiciary Act, just look that up. But we want to get on to this banking thing, but I just wanted you to understand, you can't even get into banking if you don't have a government ID, supposedly. Unless, of course, you know the maze better than most, you might be able to do it, but it's still going to require the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't come to you if you're vain. I don't know all this because I'm smart. I know all this because I'm dumb. That's actually the case. A lot of people don't realize that, but I'm extremely dyslexic. I don't see things that other people see. But because I'm blind in some ways, I can see in other ways. But seeing isn't enough. Hearing isn't enough. You actually have to hear in your heart and your mind. That's humble. That's humbling. Because you have to see your own failings all the time. So yeah, I'm hard on you. But it's because I want to bring people to the door of repentance. You have to open the door. You have to knock on the door. Actually, I guess you really don't even open the door. You have to knock on the door so the door will be open to you. That'd be a better way of putting it. It's a metaphor, so, you know, pardon my error there. So anyway, this U.S. Code, Title 42, Section 666 says you can't have IDs to get access in the world. You can be in the world, but you're going to probably starve to death. You're not going to get ration stamps. You're not going to get a bank account. You're not going to get much of a job. You might find yourself living on the street. But the kingdom of God is supposed to be better than that. And if you were actually doing what Christ commanded, it would be better than that. But you haven't been. And you haven't been for a long time. There's a lot of things. You know, if we could just get back to the Constitution, nonsense, absolute nonsense. The law is on our side, absolute nonsense. You've been coveting your neighbor's goods for 100 years in America through the institution of, first through the institution of public education, but also through dozens of other institutions that we've created on a city basis. Over the years, you've been doing this on a regular basis. And this is what's brought you, the old normal brought you to the new normal. And it's going to get worse because forcing you to wear a mask, forcing you to close your business, that's the dry run. They're not done. It's going to get a lot worse. You think... You know, a shortage of infant formula was big in the news this last week. That is insane. That's crazy that we got to this point. Infant formula is known to be bad for your children. I mean, you can hold up babies raised on formula and babies raised naturally, and the difference is just phenomenal. If you did physical exams of the two, you would say, oh my gosh, what have you been feeding this child, referring to the one on formula. We've known that for years and years, but nobody's sharing that information with you. The only information you have comes by way of paid advertisement and a self-righteous media. You don't realize you've been poisoning your children. You know, we can look into dozens of ways in which you've been poisoning your children. You're sending them to public school. We have an article, Schools as Tools. Even in our banking article, you know, look up Federal Reserve. That's where it is right now. That's kind of the basic at preparing you. And we could go through some of that because the headings alone, and it's an ongoing process. Like I said, I've been writing this stuff. The original Covenants of the Gods was a 700-page book. I reduced down to 144 pages because nobody's going to read a 700-page book, or at least not very many people. I mean, just carrying it around would have been a problem. It was actually over 740 pages. So I reduced it down because I want the Holy Spirit to fill in the blanks. But over the years, we've been putting a lot of the bits and pieces that were in that book on places like HisHolyChurch.org or Preparing You. But again, if you're going to go there and try to eat of that tree as the tree of knowledge, it's probably going to do you little to no good and may even get you into a lot of trouble, which is why we have a whole section on gurus, which I added to. I added the, you know, some of the article that we talked about a week ago. Edward House, who was instrumental in the establishment of the Federal Reserve. And we did a show on a quote that was attributed to him, which I don't believe he ever even said. And so anyway, you can go there and read that. And I'm expanding these all the time as I'm linking all these ideas together to help you find your way through the maze, but ultimately you're going to need the Holy Spirit in order to find your way through that maze. So if you were on our page at Federal Reserve at preparingyou.com, you'd see that in the table of contents we start off with real money, and that was a picture of a lot of bills there. I'll probably, now that I have such a long list in the table of contents, I will probably add a few more quotes underneath the picture we have there of a bunch of bundles of, what is it, $100 bills? Is this real money? It's notes. And we should understand that notes were not money. they have no value. They are promises to pay. We use them as if they are money, and so through use, they become money. But just the same as people were using seashells as money or feathers, they've actually used feathers as money or, you know, sticks with notches in them as money. Now we have debit cards that we use as money and credit entries, all in a computer system that could go down overnight because somebody else is controlling the plug. But it could go down overnight even with people thinking they do have control over the plug. But anyway, so this idea of Federal Reserve notes is a critical part of the instrumentation of your bondage. But nobody's in bondage because of the existence of the Federal Reserve or of banking notes. There were banking notes around a long time before the Federal Reserve. And I could fill a, 700-page book just on the Federal Reserve, reading the rules and how it's put together, how it's set up. And you could get lost in that. And a lot of the people out there, there's going to be a big meeting, I think in June, with some sort of people's rights group. And I wrote them to ask them, because they mentioned they were going to have speakers there. I said, so who are your speakers? Because there's so much misinformation out there. Because there are people who throw out all kinds of information about the Federal Reserve and the fact that it is a private corporation and all these things, and the information seems like they really know what they're talking about, but then the one video that somebody just sent me recently trying to explain this, which got me trying to set them straight, the video was full of a lot of good information, or correct information. I don't say it's good information, it's just correct. But it's what they leave out that is sometimes more important than and makes their correct information a lie, because they left out part of the truth. But ultimately, their solution was we needed to give the power to the government to print money, make money, because, the Constitution gave the government the power to print money. No, it doesn't give them the power to print money. It gives them the power to coin money and as just weights and measures. That should have been added in there, as just weights and measures. But, see, as soon as they take a gold coin and stamp on it the words $20, now it says $50 in the U.S. gold coin, but when they said a $1 of gold, which is a weight measure, is equal to 20 silver dollars, you're not dealing with just weights and measures anymore. You're dealing with authorities, exercising authority over the market. You are no longer a free market, at least a totally free market. As soon as the U.S. government stamped $20 on a gold coin, saying that this is worth 20 silver dollars. That's what that's basically saying. And that has just voided the market because, if they find a big silver mines or lots of silver mines, or they get a cheaper way of mining silver, there will be a lot more silver. And now a gold coin might be worth, 10 silver dollars, or maybe it'd be worth 50 silver dollars, whatever the market, because of supply and demand. That's what's determining the market. So as soon as you step into that area or arena, or allow your government to step into that area or arena where they're not saying this is $1 gold, 1 ounce gold, and this is 1 ounce silver, now all of a sudden, you're not dealing with just weights and measures. You're dealing with Caesar's temple of Moneta. Caesar's temple of Moneta was stamping the value of a coin, setting the value of the coin, because that's what the temple of Moneta was. That was the mint. That's where we get the word mint. And so you have that temple today, that man's coins, except for now your temple has done what the temple of Ephesus does. It debased the coins. Other, you know, actually the temple of Mineta did the same thing. I don't know right off the top of my head whether Cleopatra and Mark Antony were using the temple of Mineta to mint their coins or if they got somebody else to do it, but they began to reduce the amount of silver in the coin. And there's a method, and we talk about it in our article on Ephesus, in the different books that we've written, Thy Kingdom Comes, etc., that's what they were doing. They were debasing the coins. Well, you've done that already. Your temples, your pagan temples, and the government has done that already. And this is why, you know, for years, all through the seminary, I was asking, so what were they doing in these temples? They're just government buildings. It's where they kept... If you wanted to look up your birth certificate in Rome, and you wanted to get somebody to give you a copy of your birth certificate in Rome, you went to the Temple of Saturn to get it. That's where it was. That's what they were doing in these temples. You have such a shallow view of this because your churches aren't preaching the gospel. They're not preaching the truth. They leave it out. But so what value or lack of value was there in creating this currency? Well, it was a debt note. The Federal Reserve note was a debt note. And, you know, I could go into, you know, that it was, you know, this three-party system, and we have in great detail, but I tried to just hit the highlights in this article because if you've been watching, it's been growing and growing and growing. So what was the real purpose? I have a section there, the real purpose of creating these debt notes. Because by creating the debt notes, you were able to bring into play the law of equity. It's not the law of the sea. Everybody wants to say it's, you know, maritime law and everything, which looks a lot like the law of equity because they're both kind of brothers to each other, maybe brother and sister to each other. But it's really about equity, which is legal. They didn't have to bring the law of the sea onto the land. That's a real popular guru theory. It looks like that if you don't know what you're looking at, because equity looks a lot like that. And some of you have heard this stuff, and you don't need to know all the... I don't want you to start going out and learning all the false information out there. But there is one quote I have quote on the page, which is Stanek versus White, that explains the weakness of a note as opposed to substantive money or exchange. But there needed to be more elements, and we'll get to that when we come back to Keys to the Kingdom after a brief break. So don't go away.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom. So when we were on the break there, I just added to the page. To understand what's really going on, you need to have a fundamental grounding in natural law, because legal systems exist within the natural law. It's like physics. It's like cause and effect. And so what I did is I didn't really add a whole section, but I added another part or heading to a section under real money. And what's the problem with notes? One of the problems is they lack value, because they are only as good as the promise they are making, and that promise can change, be altered, like Darth says. So notes lack the power of present value that is required by natural law. When you make an exchange at natural law, you have to make a substantive exchange, which is why God puts this rule of having just weights and measures. Now, you can exchange, you could buy, a cow for a sack of grain or whatever. It's all substance. But when you buy a cow but promise to pay for it later, you haven't really bought the cow. You might be renting it or something, but that isn't the deal. If you don't make the payment later, you have to return the cow or you're stealing. So you're put in a catch-22 when you have interest-bearing notes. So interest-bearing notes are a serious problem, because how are you going to pay the interest on the note that was issued? If the note is issued at interest, you have to pay back the note plus interest. Where are you getting the money for the interest? Well, they have to print new notes. Well, of course, when they first did this, you could pay back the interest with silver or gold or some other substance, some other collateral. But there wasn't going to be enough notes to pay back the notes plus interest. That's a cool deal if you can get people suckered into doing it, because you're going to end up with all the gold and silver. You're going to end up with all the collateral. But talking about ending up with all the collateral, does the Federal Reserve Bank really want your house? Does the bank really want your house when you borrow money and they foreclose on your house? They don't want your house. They're going to sell it as quickly as they can. They want more notes. They want to accumulate. They're playing musical notes. So that aspect enters into it right away. And the guy who said, well, we have to have the government issue non-interest-bearing notes. Well, that sounds really good as far as getting away from the interest. But, and of course, that's why they didn't do that, because they actually have a deeper motive here and a deeper plan that many of them don't even understand. Most bankers don't understand what they're really doing. They're just interested in getting money, just like all those people wanting to talk about Title 42, but they don't really want to. They want to talk about Section 252 of Title 42, which narrows their vision, and they don't even see Title 8 or Title 666 or, you know, I mean, Title 42, Section 666. They don't see all the rest of this stuff. They focused in on one little thing, and in reading the posts and comments of the people, the guy eventually shut off comments. I actually wrote him personally, and because they shut off the comments, because I was just posting the 666 section in order to lead into a deeper discussion. But there was nobody wanting to go into a deep discussion. They it was all shallow arguments, all angry, you know, stuff. They didn't really want to understand what's really going on. So, and that's the way it is with sheep or lemmings or anything else running over the edge of the cliff. And our discussion last week in the show on Edward Mendel House, in the quote, they mentioned fiat money. And this is why, one of the reasons why I knew the quote could not be really authentic. I mean, I could be wrong. Somebody want to prove me wrong, go ahead. You can go to our page at Preparing You, and you can get a hold of us and show me that, oh, you have evidence that he actually said that. But why would he call it fiat money? Because when it was first issued, it was redeemable in lawful money. Fiat money is not redeemable in lawful money. You can't, and of course it had to be redeemable in lawful money in order to get the interest paid in lawful money, you see, because they only issued enough to loan out. They didn't, there is no extra money to pay the interest with unless you reach into lawful money. Lawful money is money of present value. And notes lack that present value. I mean, you can go on the U.S., you can go on the Federal Reserve website, and they tell you the notes have no value. They tell you that on the website, officially from the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve notes have no value. I mean, toilet paper has value, so they have value in that sense, but they were redeemable in lawful money. By 1977, you couldn't redeem them. Well, actually, by 1935, you could. Citizens of the United States could not redeem those notes in lawful money. And, you know, one of the things I always try to point out to people, if it says on it, redeemable in lawful money, it is not lawful money. And, of course, we know that because it said right on the bill that it's legal tender. Legal tender is not lawful money. Lawful money is over there in the law of nature. Legal tender is over here in equity. in a legal system, a system that binds things. Legal tender is a binding offer for all debts, public and private, except for the fact that you cannot pay a debt with a note. That's ruled over and over again, and I quote Stanek versus White, but you could quote it. Stanek versus White is ruled over, quoted over and over again. There is a distinction between a debt discharge and one paid. You cannot pay a debt with a note. You can only discharge it with legal tender. It didn't say legal tender for the payment of debts, both public and private. It says legal offer for, which means in law, instead of. So it's instead of payment, you're discharging the debt, and that's what you're doing with the note. And you would be doing that whether the government issued the note, non-interest-bearing note, or whether the Federal Reserve issued the note with interest. The interest is important because that's leading you into the second stage. I say second, but there's several stages here. Second stage in this process of bringing you back into the bondage of Egypt. Because we had silver and gold as collateral, but then that was running in short supply based on the amount of notes issued into circulation. So you weren't paying any debts. You were only discharging them because you were only using notes. And it says, when discharged, the debt still exists. That's what it states right there in the law. You haven't paid the debt. It still exists. And so, anyway, you can read all that, but we want to keep clipping along here. But it goes on to say, which may be transferred even though the transferee takes it subject to its disability, incident to the discharge. So when you buy land with notes instead of with substance, which is why for years they had in there plus $20 silver, you were discharging the debt when you buy it with notes. And so the debt still existed. So there's an attachment to the property. This is what moved all the property in the United States and every other country into a trust, into where somebody else who holds the equitable title actually owns your property. And we did a show where we explained that, yeah, you don't own it, because if you stop paying the tax, they take it away from you. The whole land and all of its value, they take it away from you. Because you don't own it. They can take it away. In Oregon, they nullify your title to the land. They just nullify it. It just doesn't exist anymore. And that's legal. So the law is not on your side. The law has brought you into bondage because you don't understand the law. And you don't understand the law because your churches have not been teaching you the weightier matters, which according to Christ's own words were law, which includes justice, mercy, and faith. You had no mercy on your neighbor when you were using Federal Reserve notes, not paying him, but discharging your debts. Your conscience is seared. You don't even know that there's something wrong with that. But it is the beginning of the process that brought you back into the bondage of Egypt. But so what's the real purpose, which is the next section on the page? I mean, I could sit here and read the whole thing, but I have put together, like the last paragraph in this section, I put together understanding the limitations of the common law, which the common law is not natural law. Common law is in the natural law, and equity within natural law suggests the utility of a division of a legal title and an equitable title. Well, there's 5, 6, 7 different links to other articles explaining all these things in the implementation of schemes of power and control. That's why they did this. They wanted power and control. They wanted dominion over everything. The merchants of the earth wanted dominion over everything. They are obsessed with that dominion. They want to take it away from you. And they think they have a right to it, but they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Because Christ was of the Holy Spirit. And he wanted to give you dominion back. He wanted every year to be a year of jubilee, where he returned every man to his possessions, every man to his family. That was so important, that quote from the Old Testament concerning jubilee. Return every man to his possession, the free market, and every man to his family, which is the corporate union created by God, the family. You don't understand these things. Part of the reason you don't understand them, you don't understand husband and wife, man and woman, and God. I mean, they don't even know the difference between a man and a woman anymore. This is how far we've gotten away. We've degenerated from the knowledge of God. How do we get back? You repent. That means start thinking differently, and I'm giving you a glimpse at what that looks like. But what I'm spewing out over the airwaves is knowledge. What you need is the Holy Spirit. And if what I'm saying is upsetting you, that's not the Holy Spirit. It shouldn't be upsetting you. It should. It may make you uncomfortable. That's understood. But it's the truth that makes you feel uncomfortable. That's fine. Feel the pain of that and start finding out what the truth is. And you're only going to find it when you turn what you begin to think into action. Repenting is a changing the way you think, but seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness is about action. And this is why Jesus says it's not enough to say, Lord, Lord, but you have to become a doer of the word. That's where real understanding is going to come into play. The long-range effects and consequences of these legal facts that I've just shared with you, and conditions, in conjunction with the social practices within society, can alter the status and course of humanity itself. You're not dressing and keeping it. You're losing dominion. You lost dominion over yourself, over your children, etc. Now, Christ came. If you repent and actually do what Christ said, there is salvation in this world and the next. If you refuse to do what Christ said, if you reject the way of Christ, there will not be salvation in this world or the next. Because you haven't really repented to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the purpose of creating the Federal Reserve System, despite the greed that was obviously driving these guys, because they know they're going to issue, what, $100 trillion in notes, but they even at 1%, you're going to owe them more than the notes they issued. And some notes are going to get destroyed and burned up. I know a guy had $100,000 in notes in big, huge gallon jars in his shed, and his shed burned down. you know, the franticness of him trying to put out the fire was immense, but somehow or other, many of the bills survived. I don't know if somebody put out something, but anyway, he took up the bills. Still in the jar or something. I don't know what kind of condition they were in, but he was able to ship them to the Federal Reserve, and they restored like half of them because there was evidence that there were that many bills that were burned up. But he lost some of them. But he still owes interest. The United States government still owes interest on all those bills. And what do they have to pay it with? You see, when U.S. citizen with HJR 192 lost the ability to redeem those notes in lawful money because we were bankrupt back there in the 30s. Foreign governments were not subject to the legal statute of HJR 192, House Joint Resolutions. They could still come in. I knew guys who worked in the Federal Reserve in 1977, or 1970s, let's put it that way. Actually, I knew them in the 60s. It was probably around 1964, that was a critical time debasing the coins. But Sheikh of Saudi Arabia could still come in with a $20 bill and collect a $20 gold piece, an ounce of gold for $20. You actually had to pay a little bit of a premium if you wanted it in a coin. You know, I think it was $20.76. And he could get an ounce of gold, which sold on the market for, at that time, over $70. Now it's over $2,000. But eventually, when we went off onto the gold standard with Nixon, they coerced everybody in the world to sign agreements that they would not redeem Federal Reserve notes in gold and silver. One of the last countries to agree to this was Panama. And I've gone through in our recordings and explained the details of that, why Panama, why Kissinger went down there, and all this stuff. And there was still hope for redemption, naturally, but that isn't the way. Your only redemption now is spiritually. And the world's going to go through a hell of a hard times. And unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you won't know where to be or where to go or how to get through the maze that's coming. So, and the only way to get filled with the Holy Spirit is to repent and seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and pray that the Holy Spirit enter into you and start showing you what you've been missing. Because I'm just giving you information here. The Holy Spirit listeth where it will. So, eventually in the 30s, we were bankrupt. They took away the power of U.S. citizens to redeem those legal tender in lawful money. And they needed more collateral. And so by the Social Security Act, they got more collateral. They got you. They got your labor. And now you're collateral for the debt. Your surety, your labor is a surety for the debt. Your income tax does not fund the government. It funds the interest payments on the debt. And you're to the point where you can't work hard enough to pay it off. We've gone through chapter 11 and chapter 13, and now we're in a lot of trouble. But again, if you repent and seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Christ is the greatest legal mind in the history of the world. There is a way out. And I'm not going to write it down because it's not written down. It has to be written in your hearts and in your minds. You have been bringing your neighbor into bondage. You don't think so? Do you send your kids to public school? Do you have the government taking care of your parents? Then you're making the word of God to none effect. This is what's bringing you into the bondage of Egypt. Now, we've written whole books, and they're available free online, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, that show you the problems with the Constitution. I've put them all together, the basic chapters together in articles with all these kinds of links to other articles so you can understand this. But what you have to understand more than anything else is that you're not really concerned about the welfare of your neighbor if you're giving them discharge debts and forcing them to pay for your child's free education, your fire department, your police force, your courts. All these things could be provided through a voluntary society, which is what Christ was creating. And it was when Rome fell, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, there was a Christian kingdom where every man was king in his own house and his wife was queen in his own house. And that 5% of the Roman Empire allowed it to survive. And it was very fruitful for 1,000 years after the fall of Jerusalem. As Rome took, you know, 200-300 years to completely collapse. And the Romans knew it. They knew. They looked at the Christian community surviving dearth after dearth, war after war. They took their hits. There were people who were persecuted. But they were thriving during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire because they were doing what Christ said. You're not doing that. Your modern churches are not teaching you how to do that. I can't even teach you how to do that. I can show you the basic outline. I'm not supposed to teach you what to do day by day. I was just talking to somebody the other day. How do you know to turn left or right? How do you know to marry this person or that person? How do you know to take this job or that job? how do you know, somebody asked me today, if ivermectin can help you with the flu virus, can it also help you with the mumps? Because there's evidently something going around that appears to be like the mumps. It appears to be a virus. It's not COVID. It's something else. And they're wondering, well, could ivermectin help with that? Well, unless somebody does, I mean, the only reason they know that ivermectin helped with viruses is that lots of people were taking it for parasites, and the people that were taking it for parasites did not get flus as bad as everybody else who were not taking it. And they said, well, my goodness, correlation is not causation, but it worked. So they started doing it. And it does have a good effect, you know, temporarily. But anyway, so what was the purpose of, how do you know, how come you didn't know what was going on with the Federal Reserve System? And again, like I say, this is only one element. And it was absolutely legal of the government to set that up. And it was absolutely legal of you not to use Federal Reserve notes. But you didn't. Now you don't even have coinage anymore. You don't even have substance anymore. And sure, you could go out and buy some gold coins now. You're only buying legal title to them. Because HJR 192 was repealed, public law 95-147, I think it was. I may have got that number partly wrong, but that's basically it. Why is all this going? What's just a maze? And you don't need to run down that corridor. That's the dead end. And that's the problem with a lot of these gurus, is they're saying, oh, this is the way. And they got people running down these corridors that are dead-end in the maze. No. You need to know the way of righteousness, because that's the way through the maze. And the way of righteousness is the way of love. You have to start. What they were trying to do is get you ready for a welfare state. I mean, who brought in the bondage of Egypt more than any other president was FDR. And who set up the welfare state more than any other president? FDR. Because Pharaoh's Egypt was a welfare state. They were out of money. They were out of food. They were going to starve. They sold their labor in order to get benefits of free bread. They did the same thing in Rome. 1,000 years later. The free bread of Rome was what brought Rome into bondage. Christians would not eat of that table. Modern Christians do. And so modern Christians have all gone into the bondage of Egypt. Because the welfare state, supported by legal charity, degenerates the character and moral strength of society. And we have, in that one sentence alone, I think there's at least 6 or 7 links. Actually, there should be more, because I could put many more of those as links. If you go to our page on legal charity is what you get from the government. It's what you get from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, which Christ said it's not to be that way with you, but it is that way with the modern church. I don't, you know, I point this out to people in the home church groups and the institutional church. Jesus said, you are not to be like the governments who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority over one another. In other words, take from this group to give to that. Redistribution of wealth by an exercising authority of a government. That's legal charity. We aren't to be that way. They are that way. How do they reconcile this? They ignore it. They don't see. They're the blind leading the blind. They don't want to see. If you're willing to see that there might be something wrong with forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, your free education, the care of your parents, your health, education, and welfare, your Medicare, your Medicaid, if you see that there's something wrong with forcing your neighbor to pay for these things because you want them, you might be a Christian. But you need to put that into daily practice. That is what seeking the kingdom of God is all about. Repenting is realizing that you shouldn't go that way, realizing we should go this other way towards charity, and then seeking is doing it. So that's what we have to do when you come back from the break. So don't go away.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So our time is going by really fast. This is really, ultimately, I have lots of recordings up and lots of other articles, and now I link to them at the bottom of a lot of these pages that deal with this subject so you can become knowledgeable of what is really going on. You're not at a point where you can say, well, let's do away with the Fed Reserve, which is something Ron Paul was trying to do away with, you know, for years. Going to the point where the government issues a non-interest-bearing note, if you knew the full history of it, you go back to Kennedy. He was issuing U.S. notes in the few short time that he had as president. He started issuing U.S. non-interest-bearing notes that were not Federal Reserve notes, and somebody shot him. Now, are those related events? Well, probably not. He was taking troops out of Vietnam, and somebody shot him. Why were we going into Vietnam? Well, to use up weapons that we had to replace because people were going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars when you replace them. Your children were sent out to run before the chariots of the military in an absolutely unnecessary and useless war that wasn't stopping the domino effect, but was actually contributing to it. You know, I mean, we were fighting Nazis in World War II because Nazis were democratic socialists when our president, FDR, was a democratic socialist. He was just a Nazi under another name. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have fought World War II or whatever, but we should wake up and find out what's really going on. You know, there's just so many aspects to this, but the reality is you're not going to go back to the U.S. government issuing non-interest-bearing notes, and then that fixes everything. You're not going to go back where they say, oh, yeah, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. We can go back to the old normal, and that's going to fix everything. Because the old normal is part of the process of bringing you into the bondage of Egypt. And you are in the bondage of Egypt. And Egypt eventually was virtually destroyed. It suffered a great deal before the people got to leave, and then the people who left saw behind it a wake of destruction in Egypt. If you go back to history, if you actually knew the time frame of Moses, you would understand what was going on at that time. But that's another whole subject. Basically, so that the real elements of this bondage had to be brought into the welfare state. The welfare state funded by more borrowed money, borrowed against the future. This is the way you curse your children, because your children are now born in debt. And, you know, marriage licenses, yeah, were a part of this, because the marriage license was a three-party contract between you, your wife, and the state. That started back with King Philip, who was the brother to Marie Antoinette. Now, it existed back in the days of Rome, but as well as birth registration existed back in the days of Rome. But when the governments tried to turn marriage into a civil union, with the state a party to that union, elements of the world were beginning to change. When you issued interest-bearing Federal Reserve notes, elements of the world began to change. When you created a welfare state with FDR, elements began to change. And the replacement of Kennedy, who immediately, I always thought this was amazing, immediately after Kennedy was shot, almost the first day, I think it was the first day after he was shot, LBJ issued an order to stop printing U.S. notes. So, why would that be so high up on your agenda? Maybe because you don't want to get shot either. But, you know, that's speculation. It doesn't really matter. I'm dealing with the principles of how you get into bondage. How you got into bondage was that you did not care about your neighbor as much as you cared about yourself. So you're willing to turn a blind eye to interest-bearing notes and use them because you could make lots of money with them. You're willing to turn a blind eye to the welfare state, the CCCs, and all these things, many of which had to be rolled back because they were unconstitutional. But the essence of signing up for the welfare state, that's your right to contract. That's guaranteed under the Constitution of the United States. So that's why I say it's an instrument of your bondage. Because when you contracted through the Social Security system to waive a right to a portion of your labor in order to be guaranteed a sort of social insurance, not really, and we explain all this in our articles on that. But ultimately, what you need to know is not all this facts and information. I only share it with you to show the process of how you went into bondage by disregarding all the teachings of Jesus Christ. But while holding up Jesus Christ at the same time saying that you're believers, but you don't actually know him. Because he was all for social virtue. He was all for charity. He was against, and said so, against legal charity through men who exercised authority. Your church has said, no, that's okay. Just tie it to us so we can get a better building, put in air conditioning and a great sound system so that we can have a great band. And you went for it because you thought emotionalism was the Holy Spirit. It's not. The Holy Spirit is a power from another dimension that can awaken your mind and your heart by writing upon your mind and heart and showing you the righteousness of God. Without social virtue, the social bonds of a free society began to decay away. This sets you up for sexual revolutions. Now, there had been a sexual revolution actually after the Civil War, what we you could call a sexual revolution, a breakdown of Victorian values. But the full-fledged promiscuity didn't exist. There was a resistance to it, but they tried to do things like outlaw homosexuality. You know, it's like outlawing abortion. I don't need a legal statute to outlaw abortion. I know abortion is against natural law. I don't need a law against homosexuality. It already exists. It's outside of, it's an unnatural relationship. Biologically, you can see that's an unnatural relationship. Psychologically, you can see it's about dominance. Which is why, going back full circle to the husband and wife thing, the men who use a couple of quotes of Paul to exercise dominance over their wives, dominion over their wives, exercising authority over their wives, is because they aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to prove yourself over anybody. You don't have to oppress anybody. You want to oppress a nation? I've said this many times looking at the Muslim nations. You want to oppress a nation, first you oppress the women. Because it's easier. Because they're not as strong, they're not as big. But that's why God made them the way they are. Is to test the metal, the spirit of the man. If he oppresses the woman, he's not filled with the Holy Spirit. But if he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he doesn't have to oppress the woman. If she's filled with the Holy Spirit, he can't oppress her. But it's the lack of the Holy Spirit that makes you subject to tyrants. Now, the process is explained by philosophers like Polybius. When the masses do an appetite for benefits and the habit of receiving them by the rule of force and violence, which is where you're at right now. That's how you get your free education. You force your neighbor with threat of violence that if he doesn't contribute to your school, you're going to take his house away from him. How is that of God? How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit and not see there's a problem? It's going to end badly. And, of course, Polybius goes on, who wasn't even a Christian. Of course, there was no Christians then because it was 150 years before Christ. I bet you he'd been one of those Christians. But he said that it degenerates the people into perfect savages. Where they just want more and more benefits. And they won't even wait for the check to come. They'll just go loot a store or burn it down. That's always amazing. They loot the store and set it on fire. That's perfect savages. Little imperfect savages, they will just wait for the check to come in. Knowing full well that the check is only arriving because you're taking away from your neighbor and your neighbor's children because it's all about borrowed money. If you're willing to see that, then maybe you can turn around and go the other way. But if you don't, you will continue to degenerate as a society, finding once more a monarch and a king, a despot and a tyrant. That's where you're going. And we knew that. People have said it, philosophers have said it, the Bible says it over and over again. That if you have an appetite for those benefits, that legal charity benefit, put a knife to your throat, and that's where you're at right now. You have to start building a society based on social virtues to recreate the social bonds of a free society so that when it fails, the unrighteous mammon, entrusted wealth, that's another one of those articles, Mammon means entrusted wealth, and that's what you were doing with the Federal Reserve. You were able to keep the legal title, but you didn't own your property anymore. Now, this was going on with just regular banks before, but now with this new Federal Reserve Bank, it went on all across the United States because the Federal Reserve is the banker's bank issuing all this money. It's out now illegal for you to issue money. These guys issuing the gold currency with a little trace gold in the currency itself and stuff, that is not the answer. Now, I don't mind, and I eventually in this article we go on and take a look at, Bitcoin and all these other Dogecoin, all these things. I don't mention Dogecoin, but same kind of thing. And I'm not saying you can't use it. You can use seashells if you want. I'm talking about but the reality is if it's not just weights and measures, it has a certain inadequacy in the natural law. But, you're not restricted from using anything as money. But if you use certain things as money, we live in a cause and effect universe. And then if you couple that with the covetous practices of the social welfare state by men who exercise authority, and you have this appetite for benefits, which the New Deal started, but the war on poverty continued, and people like Cloward and Piven fostered to bring down America, and is all part of the same program we're seeing with Klaus Schwab and his Great Reset, that he's just continuing the old normal at a greater and greater rate. Like I said, communism is just socialism on steroids, and that's where you're headed. And you're headed for the same bloodbath that communism has always brought. Now, what's really behind all this? Who's constructing this maze? What is the non-divine intelligence that is doing this? Klaus Schwab doesn't really know. He's just a dupe. So are all these other guys. Harari. These guys do not understand that they're playing with fire. They're playing with the light bringer, who doesn't want them to have dominion either. They think that they're selling you out so that they will be the guys on top. They will be the guys on the top of the heap of dead bodies. They are headed for destruction, and they're stoking the boilers. You need to turn around and go the other way. And the other way is right before us all the time. It's the way of love. It's the way of sacrifice for one another. It's the way of caring. Why aren't you in congregations of tens, hundreds, and thousands in a network of charity that is supplanting the unrighteous mammon with the righteous mammon of Christ? Where does Christ's treasury in the treasury of God? Is it the korbanos? That's what they called it in the early church. They had a little box they called the korbanos, where they gathered early on, even before Constantine's church supplanted the Christian church, which took 1,000 years to do, but it began in 300 AD to supplant the true Christianity with the Church of Constantine. And you know you're in the Church of Constantine if your pastors are saying it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods through government, because that was one of the first messages that came out of the mouth of Constantine and his followers. The second thing was you can persecute anybody who doesn't belong to our church. You can shun them because we don't want them coming near us, because we have to protect our faith. If you had real faith, evil is not a threat to it. False doctrines are not a threat to real faith. If your faith is constructed in your mind mentally and you're worshiping the image of your faith, the image of God you have created in your mind, yeah, then bringing in other ideas are a threat. But if you have real faith, spiritual faith, other ideas are not a threat. You're a threat to other ideas. I've spoken in some really big churches, but I've never spoken in the big churches twice. Because they don't want to hear the truth. Because the truth is a threat to them, because they're the Church of Constantine. They don't even provide you with a daily ministration anymore. If you need any help, they have a list of phone numbers on the wall next to their in their office. At least I know some of them do, because I've seen the list of government agencies to call. You know, call this benefactor who exercises authority to get your daily bread. Don't pray to God for your daily bread. Pray to the gods of the world, to the fathers of the earth. We have links to articles so you can understand that. If you've been listening, you probably get all this. But the critical thing is, are you willing to lay down your life for one another? Well, then why aren't you in tens, hundreds, and thousands contributing on a local basis so that they're... Because the treasury of the kingdom of God, the vault in which we keep our gold and silver, is your pocket. That's where we keep it. If you don't have a network, you're not going to be able to help other people. You've been, this is the purpose of the Federal Reserve and the social welfare system of the state, is to amputate, abort you from the body of Christ. Because you're not in the body of Christ if you're coveting your neighbor's goods. You're not in the body of Christ if you are not laying down your life for your fellow man on a day-to-day basis in almost a religious fashion. Now, you don't have to jump on a grenade, but you should be taking care of one another. And one of the things that shocked me amongst the people who were trying to find their way out through these gurus, I knew a guy, very peaceful guy, very nice guy and everything, but he was taken advantage of, paid $600 to get from this guy. We exposed the guy. We knew of the guy before. It was a bunch of guys, you know, selling this packet on how to get out of the system, supposedly. And they were charlatans. And he paid $600, and they said it was refundable if he didn't stay on the calls, and he didn't stay on the calls, and he realized they were not telling the whole truth, and so he asked for $600 back, and he never got it back. And so I said, what you need to do is write a letter pointing this out, that they cheated you. They said they were going to send it, they never did. And we used that letter to warn everybody else of what was going on with these guys, and he didn't want to do that. Probably too humiliating, I don't know. But that's like saying, you know, the bridge is out, and you don't want to tell anybody not to go down that way because it's too much trouble. You don't care about your neighbor if you're not willing to tell them. So, you know, a great deal of health advice that I have picked up over the years has come to me by way of people willing to share that information. Finding sources of information about what's really going on, because you do need that information, that tree of knowledge in the garden. Because that's part of the tools of the righteousness of God, is correct information. That's why God put the tree of knowledge in that safe place, which we call the garden, which is actually in you. You are the tree of knowledge, and in you is also the tree of life. But you're supposed to tap into the tree of life for what you're supposed to do. So, and it is the filter of the knowledge that you also have. They will say, yeah, that's true, but we're not going that way because there's something wrong that way. We're not going to, you know, create a Federal Reserve System with interest-bearing notes, but we're also not going to create and give the power to Biden to print the money. That's what the guy is ultimately saying, to print the money, because our money should only be issued by the government, because the Constitution tells us we can only the government can print money. Doesn't say that. It says coin money. When they printed on the $20 gold piece that it's worth $20 in silver. They were printing. That's not coining. That's printing. That was a mistake. Now, knowing that that was a mistake is just to try to point out certain principles that you need. You do not want to exercise authority over your neighbor and force your neighbor to do the right thing or to think the right way. If you do, then as you judge, so shall it be with you, and somebody else will come along and force you, which is where you're at now. You've been coveting your neighbor's goods and saying it's okay to take away from my neighbor so that I can have free stuff, and now they're taking away from you because you set the rules through your power to contract. Now you are going to suffer the disadvantage of having the advantage of taking away from your neighbor, of the covetous practices you've been doing for 100 years and more. See, repentance is not like joining the charge. Repentance is thinking another way. God gave life, created life, gave you the power of choice. You need to be doing that with other people who are willing to give choice too. That's why you congregate together. You don't kick people out of your congregation. The Holy Spirit will kick people out of your congregation or change them. But you have to have the Holy Spirit. Well, you're not going to get the Holy Spirit until you start living like Christ said to live. Until you start loving one another, being charitable with one another. That's, joining a congregation is not going to save you. It's repenting and seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which will allow the Holy Spirit to come into your midst and save you. And it will produce the pillar of fire between you and the forces of evil, which are everywhere, pervasive throughout the world. Hell is empty. All the demons are here. But we're not sent here to judge them, but we will bring judgment by bringing the Holy Spirit. We will not judge. Back to the original thing I was saying. When a woman filled with the Holy Spirit comes into the room, her presence exercises authority, not her. Not, I shouldn't even say her presence, but the presence of the Holy Spirit in her exercises authority. She's not going to be screaming and yelling. She's not going to be scolding and wagging her finger. She's just going to bring in the love of the Holy Spirit. And it will protect her. And it will shame him. It will drive a bad man away. But if you're not willing to see your faults, your error, your sins, and confess them, at least to yourself to begin with, then the Holy Spirit will not be there in the midst of your relationships, and your relationships will fall apart. And this goes on that micro relationship and with all the world. Until then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. Join the network. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a live weekly prophecy reality edition. In our first hour, we're going to, as usual, talk about current events, news items, commentary, and whatever you'd like to talk about in the chat room. And in the second hour, I'm going to just share with you some of the research and things that I've been working on during the week. As you know, I'm working on my book on, a disputation of amillennialism, now that I'm working on it some more. I'm making headway on it, so that's good. And get that out there. When it's ready, you know, a couple months off, I'm sure, with everything else I have to do. It's hard to spend just to concentrate on writing one book. But when I feel the spirit move me, then I engage in writing the book and everything else seems to disappear. So anyway, I'll share with you some of the things that I'm working on and refining. Many of the things you will have heard before, but better than you've heard before, and some new things, of course. Okay, Scripture, Revelation 19:6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Something we need to remember continually, especially in the days and the turmoil that we are going through in just about every aspect of life here on earth. Things have changed so much for those of you who are older, such as I am. You know that things have changed quite a bit from what they were 10, 20, 30, and 40 years ago. It's almost a different world. It must be different for young people, teenagers, people in their 20s, who don't notice much of a difference in what's going on around them. But it's there. Anyway, continuing verse 7 here, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. For 2,000 years, the Church of Jesus has been being built, because he said, I will build my church. And the time is coming for this proclamation. His wife has made herself ready, because the church is the wife of Jesus Christ. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And I can tell you from my own personal experience that the righteousness of the saints is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the time is coming where all of our unrighteousness, all of our leanings towards the fall and the corrupted creation that lives, that dwells in our mortal flesh, will all be done away with, because we will be transformed. And those that are dead, that died in Christ, they will be resurrected, and they will be ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. That's what we have to look forward to. That's really what it's all about, is are the promises of God. When we see Christ, when we join him, when he returns in the air and we join him in the air. I know it all seems like a fairy tale to, especially to the world and those that don't believe. But for those of us that are filled with the Spirit of God, we know these things are true. And we know all the promises of God are true. And gives us hope and strength to live our lives looking forward to what is to come, regardless of what happens in the interim. Because for those of us that are still living in our mortal bodies, we know that our mortal bodies must perish or at the least be transformed upon his return. Should we be honored with to be able to live until that occurrence happens? I don't know if I will live until Christ returns, but I will live when he returns. That I know. Whether I die in my mortal flesh before then or not, that I don't know. But I'm willing to suffer whatever God requires me to suffer in the meantime, and to do it with joy, because if I'm going to suffer with joy, of course, it is going to have to be God who's responsible for that joy, for giving it to me and imputing it to me, and keeping my eyes placed solely upon him, whatever may come. Always good to begin our broadcast with hope for the future. Here are some things Elon Musk should buy and fix. Yeah, the great savior of the world out there. For those that don't have a savior in Jesus Christ, they may be looking that the truthers and patriots that live without Christ somehow or have a shallow, perhaps nominal relationship with his church. They might look to someone like Elon Musk as their salvation for some of the controversies that are swirling around the planet now. Anyway, here are some more things Elon Musk should buy and fix. And of course, Pfizer, really, and I don't know, ESPN, and what, I don't know what these other things are, but you get the idea. That's the way the world thinks. But we have no salvation in any man, be it Donald Trump, who really destroyed our world by shutting everything down and paying all the governors of the states, of the 50 different states, to go along with the scheme. And most of them went along with it. And then he told us through his intermediaries that, hey, you are not essential. Only essential people are allowed to carry on their work and their business. And what made you essential was being a billionaire or being a very rich person and having a business that could take the place of all of the other businesses that were shut down. So I see no hope in Elon Musk or in Donald Trump or any of those rhinos up there on the hill. I could see some good things happening. And my trust is going to be in God's word and in the thing and in the hope that he has given us. Now, I'm all for good things happen. I hope Elon Musk does do some good, although it's hard to put any hope in this man who is obviously a pagan. And but we can pray for him. Maybe he could find the truth. Maybe he could come to salvation in Christ. But from what I've seen, it's unlikely, and I hope I'm wrong. Okay, there we go. Let's see what else we got here, Babylon B. Hey, this stuff is too serious almost. It's supposed to be funny. Or, sarcasm or whatever. FBI sternly warns mob at Justice Kavanaugh's home to stay away from school board member's house next door. In other words, yeah, they are breaking the law. These people that are they don't obey the rule of law. And the dividing line in our nation is becoming so clear between those that revere the truth and desire to have implemented the rule of law and the truth, and those that don't care about the rule of law. You know, talking about the Supreme Court issue there. Now, it's against the law for these people to do this, but even the pretender in chief, the Biden and his regime are encouraging people to break the law. Now, I would think that would be an impeachable, an impeachable event, something that he could be impeached over, but no one has the will in government to impeach Sleepy Joe or his government or anyone else or to uphold the rule of law in this case, because they don't care about the rule of law. All they want is what they want, and they'll break any law. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, they'll kill and destroy in order to get their way. And that's all they see. Though they may lose all of their liberties, they don't care. If they can't get what they want, despite that, they want unlawful liberty. Liberty to do what is wrong. That's what they want, to violate God's law. And let's see, moving on here. Female James Bond ruins car chase scenes by stopping and asking for directions. Yeah, okay. Let's see what else we got. Congress votes on bill to legalize Clinton-assisted suicide. Ooh, that one's kind of dark. You've heard of the Clinton death list. Yeah, or the Clinton suicide list or kill list. All of the coincidental deaths that followed the Clinton regime from their opening until their end, and perhaps... Yeah, okay. That's enough of that. We all remember that from back in the 90s. Pro-lifers don't care about babies after they're born, says person who just destroyed free pregnancy resource center. Let's see. Husband patiently waits until after midnight on Mother's Day to ask wife to change kid's diaper. Phew. Must have been pretty stinky, huh? Let's see. Disney inflates Doctor Strange box office numbers by including ticket sales from other universes. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Okay, well, that's enough of that. I wish it was funnier. Okay, let's see. Oh, well, hello there in the chat room. We got a few people showing up. Fireman Mike, Tom W., Stephen, Ellie, Dale, and Engel Chen. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Well, let's take a look at LouRockwell.com, see what they got. Canada and Banderites. I don't know what that's about. As far as a headline goes, well, let's take a look and see what we can, if we can figure it out. In previous articles, the first foreign fighters to arrive in Ukraine at the start of the war in February were Canadians. Oh, yes. Go fight for the cause, people. That's right. Go help the Antichrist get his way in the world and implement the New World Order and the Great Reset. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Pack your bags, your knives and your guns and get yourself shipped off to the Ukraine to fight the new evil empire of Russia. Yes, the first foreign fighters to arrive in Ukraine at the start of the war in February were Canadians. The first foreign officer arrested by Russian forces on May 3rd was a Canadian general. Clearly Canada, although more than 6,000 kilometers away from Ukraine, has hidden involvement in this conflict. So are these actually Canadian National Army or something like that? Canadian, yeah. In this article, I would show that all Canadian Liberal governments have supported the Ukrainian band Derite since the beginning of the Second World War. They had it both ways during that war, fighting the Nazis, but supporting the Banderites. Worse still, the current Canadian government is composed of Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, flanked by a Banderite deputy, Chrystia Freeland. And of course, these are some of your young global leaders that have graduated from the World Economic Forum and Davos. They have been placed in governments all throughout the world. Now, we remember how lockstep and everybody, you know, in the beginning of 2020, when it started going lockstep around the world, this was kind of like a new thing that never happened before, that we never saw happen so pronouncedly, so in your face before, as the lockstep lockdowns, yeah, that happened there in the beginning of 2020. But it was because all of these leaders, or many of them, and many governors in the United States and people in other places in the government throughout the whole world are young global leaders. Oh yeah, and we were speaking of Elon Musk. He is also a young global leader. You didn't know that, did you? They're kind of hiding that one on you. They're not putting it out there for public consumption. But it is true. A little digging and you'll find it there. Okay. Young global leader. So while the CIA's, and I think I'm going to go with Tom Fress on this one, CIA, Catholics in Action, as in Jesuit government control primarily. If it's in Washington, D.C., you know the Jesuits, the army of the Antichrist is behind it or in it or all through it or has taken it over or developed it, yes, and has primary control of just about everything in Washington, D.C. So Washington, D.C., well, little hope there. Yeah, very little hope there. The states, we have a little more hope in the states and people in their localities taking over and replacing the school boards. I'd like to see public schools done away with completely. The government has no business in public school. They're ruining the youth of this country, which become the adults of this country. And they've done an enormous amount of damage through education, which is a primary object and methodology of that evil order, that shadow government that works for the Antichrist. They are very huge on education, and they've wormed their way into every aspect of education, just about everywhere in the world. You'll find very few institutions that they have not affected. So you wonder what's going on and why all this stuff is happening lockstep. Well, they're employing the same model in just about every aspect of our lives, including destroying our economies and our supply chain. All of this to bring about the New World Order and the Fourth Industrial Revolution, or the Fourth Reich. Yeah, that's what it's all about. While the CIA's connection to the Nazis during the Cold War were not revealed until 1975, with the Pike Church and Rockefeller Congressional Commissions, and only ended with President Jimmy Carter. Really? Yeah, maybe the commissions ended with Jimmy Carter. The Canadian Liberal Party's ties to the Nazis continues, and that's what we have. We have a Nazi government in the Ukraine. Oh boy, I think I'm breaking some Twitter rules now. Yeah. But don't care. I have to do what I have to do. And if they strike me or whatever, I'll just make my move quicker. Plan on moving totally off of YouTube this summer and moving over to, what is it called? Rumble. Yeah, for the live part of the broadcast. Right now I'm using YouTube to, but all of the other ones that I'm streaming on, you can't embed the live show onto your own website, like in the chat room where I'm at right now. But you can with Rumble. And I just have to get over there and make the move. But I'm planning on it, so be patient with me. And then I'll leave Rumble. I mean, I'll leave YouTube behind and Facebook behind. I'm already locked out of half of my Facebook accounts because I won't give them a cell phone number. And, whatever. I don't care. I just don't have the energy. I have so much to do already. I don't have time for Facebook anyway. So, to leave that behind. And I think all these other alternative social media, I don't have time for that. You know, swiping or scrolling. You know, you swipe on your stupid phone device or your mobile device and you scroll on your computer and it just sucks the time out of you. And as the news said before the broadcast, I don't know if you heard that or not, that, your sense of well-being might improve. Well, definitely will improve if you stay off of social media or limit it to, say, 20 minutes a week or something like that. Yeah. So it doesn't affect you too much. Okay, well, here comes our first break. And we'll try to get more covered in the current events and the news in this next segment. So I'd like to hear from you in the chat room. Anything you'd like to comment on or like me to comment on, just go over there and type it in. And we'll take a look at it. All right, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. In this segment, we're going to continue looking at current events and commenting on them. Let's see. Article today says, corporate in the chat room. Toddlers are taking longer to learn speech. Formative years during the COVID campaign. Well, that's true. Well, if you put a mask on everyone, it messes things up, does it not? That is the only way they could get out of Canada. Laugh out loud. Yes, so they're trying to escape Canada. Hey, maybe we can go and fight in Ukraine. Yes, you're free to leave Canada if you want to fight in Ukraine. There you go. The Berlin Wall of Canada. Is that what we're talking about there, Dale? Yes. Okay, here's another one. I was just looking at articles here. Lord Malik Brown and Soros, the British hand behind the U.S. coup revealed. Yes, there's so many hands behind the U.S. coup, but we know that they're all Jesuit hands. That's right. The Antichrist shadow government is in there everywhere. This author says, this week, I took the time to watch a new documentary produced by Dinesh D'Souza titled 2,000 Mules. He took the time to watch it. Anybody here take the time to watch this thing? It grossed over $1 million in 12 hours online. I didn't see it, and I'm not going to pay to see it. I'm going to wait for it to come out free. I'm a very patient man. I figure if there's anything important that's going to come out of it, I'll hear about it, right? I'm not that curious. I have enough to do. Yeah. See, which utilizes voluminous geo-tracking and video evidence to demonstrate conclusively the scope of the fraud, which occurred in November 2020, which saw the election stolen from the U.S. President Trump. And I did watch a trailer for the movie, and I saw that much. You know, I got that much by watching the trailer. So if this is all they got to tell me, then I'm really not going to learn anything by watching the rest of the documentary. He goes on, the documentary focuses on the quantitative analysis of the data, but avoids speculating on those causal agencies that would have the means, intent, and power to put such a coup d'etat into effect. This was the right decision, as D'Souza's purpose was conclusively demonstrate the scope of the fraud, not venture into why it happened or who done it. Okay, so basically, here's evidence, not pointing any fingers at anybody. Since 2000 Mules is going viral, he said, I thought it prudent to republish an article I had written in December 2020 in order to present the evidence of the British hand, which managed the coup that saw a cultish technocratic takeover of the White House. The star performers in this drama will be a Don Quixote, Sancho Panza team, of George Soros and Lord Mark Malik Brown. Of course, George Soros, British, obviously. and in our business over here in the United States. You can see, Great Britain, the United Kingdom over there is probably, like a few states combined over here on the other side of the ocean. And I guess he's already done everything he can to mess up Great Britain. So he's got to move over here to the United States and start getting behind people who hate the rule of law, paying their way into business and government, what do they call them? District attorneys and such, supporting their campaigns so they can get in there and release criminals and cause more mayhem in our country. And basically you can see the outcome in the fact of what's going down in Washington DC right now with the lawbreakers that are unlawfully holding protests in front of the houses of justices to try to sway the court to change their decision, the one that was leaked. And these lawbreakers even being encouraged by the president, the pretender in chief over there, the Biden regime at all, to continue breaking the law. And why are these people not being arrested for violating the rule of law? Well, we know why. And I think, speaking of, again, the leaked document that would overthrow Roe versus Wade, I thank God for that, especially if it happens. I'm a kind of wait and see. I don't know how they're going to not make it happen. And I don't know what these people are complaining about. They will still have abortions in states that are controlled by people they love and the people that love them, because they all love death together. So the states that are controlled by their kind will still have, and maybe, they can move there if they love death so much. The unfortunate thing about these people that love death, every one of these people that are protesting in front because they're supposedly losing a right, which is a wrong, to kill a child before it's born and up until the time it's born, they all love death and they're all murderers in their heart, according to the word of God. Because Jesus said, if you hate your neighbor in your heart, even if you don't do the act, Jesus actually raised the standard, because you had the scribes, the Pharisees, all the hypocrites out there, all the nominal believers that believed if they went through the motions, if they did not actually murder, if they did not actually steal, but if they coveted and if they hated their neighbor, that Jesus said that they were thieves and murderers or adulterers in their hearts. They were already guilty simply because they uphold the idea. They back it up. They're all for it. They're excited about it. Like, it's really getting weird out there that some people are so for it. Yeah, they're even attacking mock babies in the form of baby dolls, toys, and showing their hatred for humanity and even little babies. And babies in the womb especially are to be hated. But nobody's telling them they have to have a child. I mean, they don't have to have sex, do they? They could just abstain and not have to worry about having children or being murderers at all. Okay, well, let's see what else we have here in our mailbox. Yes, the mRNA red flags fly ever higher. The news never ends. How anybody could not know what's going on? They would have to be either totally ignorant, totally closed off to reality, or just simply believing in the lies only and hearing the lies only about what's going on. But we'll see. I know that they're going to try to bring this back in some other form when everybody calms down. Everyone's looking at the war in Ukraine now, and everyone's frightened about, you know, nuclear war and worldwide and everything else that's going on, the destruction of our societies and our economies. It's a lot for people to keep their mind and devoted to one thing when there are so many things going on. But I think they'd have a hard time bringing it back as people know it and trying to enforce it, though they really haven't given up on a lot of instances, because they're still drumming people out of the military for not taking something that even their own experts say doesn't work, but actually does more damage than good. Okay. See, abortion activists protest at SCOTUS homes violating federal law. Will the Federal Reserve's latest decision lead to recession? Well, I don't know. Is recession here? Well, inflation, hyperinflation is here. For instance, went out and went to the store where they usually have 20 varieties of dog food stacked up high all over the place, because I've got some dogs here, you know. And there was only one bulk bag of dog food. The biggest bag I could get was 44 pounds, and it cost $28 by the time I got out the door. Now, used to be I could get a 55-pound bag for about $19. So I got less and paid a lot more. And there was no variety. The brands I usually buy were not even present in the store. Yeah. It goes for cat food, too. Same thing. When we went to the store when I sent my daughter to the store for cat food a couple weeks ago, it was the same thing. So the supply chain issues are real, and it's spotty. It's here and it's there. It's not everywhere all at once. But I go to the store 1 week, and one thing that I usually buy that has always been on the shelf for the last 20 years is not there suddenly. But I'll go to the next week and it'll be there, but something else or a couple other things will be missing. Yeah, that's how it is. Is it going to get better or is it going to get worse? Well, with Sleepy Joe in charge and his not-so-sleepy warriors for the Antichrist all around him, it's going to get worse because they want it to get worse. Because out of the chaos, they want to bring, yeah, their New World Order and their Great Reset, besides reducing the population of planet Earth. And so there's food, the food shortages, is going to affect a lot of people. Perhaps many people will starve to death when it becomes more difficult. It will always start with those that are in the greatest poverty. Yeah. Stock up, people. Yeah. That's Dale in the chat room says. Corporate agrees. Therein lies the real choice in abstinence or not. It's funny how abortion advocates who refer to a fetus as a blob of cells are also believers in evolution, who also say that all forms of life came from a blob of cells. Yes, how is that? That people don't understand these things. Okay, White House reverses position, condemns violence, threats, and vandalism toward the Supreme Court. Well, I figured eventually they had to come out for the rule of law. Let's see. We have here, POTUS strongly believes in the constitutional right to protest, but that should never include violence, threats, vandalism. Judges perform an incredibly important function in our society and they must be able to do their jobs without concern for their personal safety. Well, yeah, it's good to say that after you've already incited the people to protest against the law. And I hear that this gal, the press secretary, is retiring and being replaced by someone else. So, yeah, well, at least she's learned how to not say "ah" every third or fourth word in the last couple years. She's learned how to talk. Yes, now she can move on to CNN. There you go. Yes. Yeah, the gas prices. Yeah, well, that's all on Joe, shutting down the pipeline, stopping the drilling, and stopping our domestic production. But, you know, the states can do that, and I wish that people would get in their states, and I know I can't make it happen in California, but they do produce oil in California. Just north of me, we have the oil fields of Oildale. And, yeah, we need to be producing a lot more oil, although the crude that produced in Oildale is not the highest quality. That's what they say. But the states can produce, can set up their own production as long as it isn't involved in interstate commerce. Yeah. Because once they get into interstate commerce, then they have to follow some interstate commerce rules, I guess. But they could produce oil. Say there are several states could produce all the oil they need, and that would prevent any oil from other sources from going in there, making those sources available to the states that don't have their own production. Yeah. That seems like it would be a great idea. So the states' rights thing is something that we need to keep pushing on. That is for sure. And state rights, we need to get rid of public schools, and hopefully we can see the end of public education. I would like to see that, but I don't have much hope for it before Christ returns, unless society completely falls apart. Yeah. Because everyone is forced to pay for these ungodly temples of Satan called public schools. Basically, that's what they are. They have become ungodly temples of satanic education in hedonism and every kind of evil imaginable. And certainly no love for the truth. They teach them racism, and it just goes on and on. And they're total failures at giving a good education and raising the standards of education and knowledge and true science in our nation. Yeah, total failure. Need to be done away with. It just grieves me that wherever you live, whether you rent or own property, you are paying for this education, and it's unconscionable that people should have to pay for something that they are, you know, religiously, that violates their conscience. I'll put it that way, that violates their conscience, because what is happening there does violate my conscience. But if you don't pay that tax, so it's forced. It's a forced contribution, because if you don't take it, they come with guns and remove you from your property and take everything that you've worked for, your labor, your God-given labor, God's gift to you. That's what your labor is. It's God's gift to you. And you've built a home and provided for a good place for your family to live and work and be productive members of society and God's kingdom. And they would just steal it from you, or steal it and continue to steal from you based upon their forced theft of your labor and the product of your labor if you do not hand over the cash. It's a racket, and they are the thieves. They are the armed thieves, because there are by the police and the sheriff's deputies that are employed to do that job. Yeah. So. But who set all this up? Who robbed us of all our liberties and converted our properties into such a state? Well, the Antichrist and his shadow government. They gave us, definitely gave us the income tax and the Federal Reserve. There's no doubt about that, because they own all the money now. And as far as all these, you know, futurists out there who don't believe the Antichrist, you can't know who he is because he's only going to show up for 3.5 or 7 years immediately before Christ returns. Well, the scripture clearly tells us that the Antichrist will control money in the end, so that he can even affect that everyone will have to have a mark or the name of his number, or in order to buy or sell in his monetary system in the end. And it's present now, and it's developing quickly before your eyes, the final form is. And thus, we have the Great Reset and the destruction of the economies of the world to help implement that, because total control of the money will give him total control of the whole world, especially if they use with all of the biological tracking. He wants to, you know, it's kind of like the income tax. They create money out of thin air. They don't need your money, and they aren't happy with your money. They just want you to report. They want your inquisitional report every year on whatever, everything you spend your money on, because that tells them everything they need to know about you. And they want it digital so they can look it up at any time and see what you do all day long, where you spend every penny, where you go, and control your life. They want to be like God, because they consider their Antichrist to be God on earth, to have taken the place of God, to be the vicar of God on earth. Yeah, because that is the very definition of Antichrist, is one who takes the place of the King of Kings. Okay, Putin's May 9th speech. Oh, I'd love to go through that full review. See, God is under attack. The mob comes for religion. And yeah, well, we're going to see that come more and more all the time. But like I said, here in America, let's keep up the fight. You know, those two horns of the beast, the one that's lamb-like and the other that's dragon speaking, we need to make sure it does not rise up. Well, we don't have to make sure it doesn't rise up, because we're fighting the fight, because we're resisting. It will never rise up, and the scripture shows us that, unless Jesus, you know, unless the scripture, the prophecy left that part out. But I don't believe it did, because it didn't in the past, where other horns were concerned, where it shows one rising up, coming up last, rising up higher than the other, or one plucking three up. So we get that in the prophecies about the horn powers. And these two horns remain equal throughout their life. And there's hope in that. And that's the end of our first hour. Okay, we'll come back. We'll take prophecy questions and such, and discuss what I'm researching and coming up with when we come back. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. Don't go anywhere. The memories of long ago. Holy fire burning the lonely hearts. Holy fire helping to carry on. Holy fire burn all the compromise. Renew all the patience. Years they fought for freedom. Many
many nights they've prayed so long, staring against the very gates of hell, till the enemy turned to run. But it's been so long since I've heard the sound of that once familiar song, the one they'd sing at the break of dawn, when the battle had just been won. Holy fire, burning the lonely hearts. Holy fire, helping to carry on. Holy fire, burn all the compromise. Renew motivation, remove hesitation, destroy all the wicked desire.
For American Family News, I'm Chris Woodward. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has spoken with his Russian counterpart for the first time since the invasion of Ukraine. Fox reporter Jared Halpern has more from Washington.
For the first time since February 18th, before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke with Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu. In a statement, the Pentagon says Austin urged an immediate ceasefire in Ukraine and emphasized the importance of maintaining lines of communication. The call between the two defense chiefs came as two of Russia's neighbors, Finland and Sweden, have intensified talks to join NATO, a move Russia has warned would be met with repercussions. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Passengers on a German train overpowered a man who wounded five people with a knife. The victims are expected to recover. German authorities say the man was born in Iraq and that he was investigated for possible Islamic extremism in 2017. Residents in Chicago were asking the city to crack down on teen mobs. Fox's Jeff Manasso has this story.
It's something seen all too often of late. Mobs of teens causing chaos. It happened last night in Chicago's Old Town.
A lot of kids just swarming.
She counted 400 teens taking to the streets, shuttering major intersections, jumping on cars and city buses till 2 a.m. As other residents tell us,
crime has gone through the roof. I've lived in this area since 1964. I've never seen it so bad.
She's one of many people begging the city to crack down on what one alderman calls illegal parties, for which organizers of last night's party plan another one tonight.
Wheaton College has invited someone to campus, but not everyone is fond of the idea. Bob Kellogg reports.
Jayachitra Lalitha is dean of the women's studies at a seminary in South India. Lori Higgins of IFI says the professor states there are 28 types of gender identity that are scientifically proven. Higgins says that alone is proof that Lalitha is a far leftist.
And I can't imagine that anyone who has concluded there are scientifically proven 28 genders that she is anything except a far leftist.
She says she feels obligated to write articles that criticize Wheaton's orthodox decline because parents need to know to help them decide if they want to send their children to the school.
There's no good leadership at Wheaton College, and I think it's going to take a new president with some backbone and wisdom to come in and change the direction Wheaton's moving.
As a matter of full disclosure, it should be noted that Higgins' own children attended and were graduated from Wheaton when they were college age. I'm Bob Kellogg.
Americans have bet more than $125 billion on sports with legal gambling outlets in the last 4 years since a U.S. Supreme Court ruling cleared the way for all 50 states to offer it. Saturday is the anniversary of that case, which involved the state of New Jersey. Two pilots get their wings clipped over a failed stunt. Here's Fox's CJ Papa.
Pilots grounded, licenses revoked. Cousins Luke Akins and Andy Farrington unsuccessfully tried the first ever plane swap about 50 miles south of Phoenix, Arizona. Back in April, both men flew their planes to 12,000 feet, nosedived, jumped out of the planes, skydiving into the other plane. Akins pulled it off, landing safely. Farrington failed, with the plane crashing in the desert. He used his parachute to reach the ground safely. Besides losing their ability to fly, the FAA said both were careless and reckless as to endanger the life and property of another by violating three regulations, including taking off their seatbelt and unnecessarily leaving the aircraft. Akins was paying nearly $5,000 fine. CJ Papa, Fox News.
In final news, volatile crude oil prices continue to drive pump prices higher. AAA has today's national average at $4.43. That's up 16 cents from this time last weekend and nearly 50 cents from this time last month. Find more news on AFN.net.
It's Monday, May 9th, AD 2022. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. 25 Iranian Christian converts signed a joint statement regarding the deprivation of their right to work, according to Article 18, reports ICC. Ratified by Iran in 1975, Article 18 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights says, quote, "No one shall be subject to coercion, which would impair his freedom to have or to adopt a religion of his choice," end quote. Signatories included several Christians previously imprisoned for their faith, such as Sam Khosravi, Maryam Falahi, and Mary Mohammadi. The statement's release on May 7th coincided with International Workers' Day and detailed the obstacles that Iranian authorities place in the way of Christians' ability to work, even in self-employment. Although Christianity is constitutionally recognized in Iran, that only includes indigenous Christians such as those from Armenian or Assyrian backgrounds. Persian-speaking converts have no such rights for gathering and recognition. Iran is the ninth worst nation in the world for the persecution of Christians. On April 19th, California took another step toward decriminalizing infanticide up until 28 days after birth. In an appalling 11-3 vote, California's Assembly Bill 2223 passed in the Assembly Health Committee, reported California Family Policy. Authored by Democrat Speaker Pro Tem Kevin Mullen and introduced by Democrat Assemblywoman Buffy Wicks, the bill passed despite nearly 2,000 people traveling to Sacramento to try and persuade legislators face-to-face to vote no. Two key pro-lifers also spoke in person before the Assembly Health Committee. Dr. Vanson Wong, a pro-life OBGYN who has practiced medicine for